Good day, everyone, and welcome back to the Not Safe for Work Photography podcast. Today, we're interviewing Emma Fleur. Emma is a model who is passionate about inclusivity, ending social stigmas around sexuality and nudity, and she has a really cute butt. How's things today, Emma?
Pretty good. I've been working on getting ready for a shoot tomorrow. How are you?
You know, it is the second day of the work week, and I'm really tired of this having a job thing. So anytime this podcast wants to start paying me a salary.
Ready for it.
Yeah. So today we're going to be discussing kind of getting into nude modeling and adult work with Emma, as she just started back in January. Mm-hmm. All those memories and experiences of starting out are super fresh for her. Additionally, if we have time, she has a separate Instagram account for her nude hiking, and I'm kind of curious about that too, but we'll see if we can get to that. So what made you decide to start modeling this year, the COVID year?
To be honest, I never really expected it to turn into modeling. Still surprised when people call me a model. I have a bit of imposter syndrome, so every time that I get called a model, I'm still a little surprised by it. I just started out doing this with my partner. We were having fun expressing sexuality and, you know, overcoming a lot of shame that has always been a part of my life regarding my sexuality and my desire for nude photography. So we were just having fun with it, and I decided to start posting it to Instagram. And it wasn't until I got a message from a photographer asking me, "Hey, would you like to do a virtual photo shoot?" And I said yes. And they sent me a model release form that I suddenly realized, oh, I guess I can call myself a model now.
So how was that first remote shoot? That's interesting. I assume you had to have your partner set up his camera for that, or?
So we actually put his phone, it was done through a phone, we put it on a tripod and just moved it around the apartment as the photographer requested. It was really interesting. He was able to be like, okay, tilt it to the left a little bit, and now like move over here, move over there. And I would put like interesting things over the screen in order to like give extra effect in a way to make it look, because the quality isn't going to be the same as it is in real life, right? If he threw like bubble wrap over the screen before taking a picture with his camera of the screen, then it made it look more artistic. And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I haven't done any of the remote shoots, but I've definitely seen that they've become a thing. So what came first, nude hiking or the modeling?
The nude hiking, I would say, came first. It started out as just... there's a musician that I really like named Anthony Green. He's with Circa Survive, and he posted a picture of himself at a amphitheater, butt naked, just from behind. And I loved it. And I was like, I need to do that. And then I realized there's a whole community for it. And recently their account got deleted, but Cheeks on Peaks was my inspiration. They post pictures of people with their nude hiking. And this was in 2017. And I started doing it myself. And starting in 2017 was my first one. And then I really started to take off in late 2019, right before COVID hit.
That's a pretty good hobby for COVID too. Nice and nice.
Yeah.
So I'll dive into that a little bit later. I have a quick, this is kind of a weird question, but I've been surprised by the answers I've gotten. Do you think that you're more of an introvert or more of an extrovert?
Oh, I'm a big old extrovert.
Interesting. All right. So that is the opposite of a lot of models that I've spoken to. I was wondering if there was going to be there's a lot of models who are introverts, but turn to nude modeling because it allows them to put on kind of a persona and become somebody else. But not you.
No. I always thought I was an introvert because I can be very shy. But turns out that's just social anxiety, and extroversion is dependent on whether or not you draw energy off of people. And I absolutely draw energy off of people.
I don't. I get. People drain me. All right. So we already talked about how you found your first photographer. What about your first couple photographers after that? Did you Did you do most of your pictures yourself? I guess having your partner be a photographer makes things a lot easier for your first couple shoots.
Yes, my partner Luke is an extremely talented photographer, but he is used to taking pictures of architecture and he primarily does videography. So he's not used to taking pictures of people. And I was used to being behind the camera as well. I do hobby photography. Then, like I said, when we started dating and we started wanting to explore the whole nude photography aspect, he started taking my photos and that's who is, yes, took our first photos. After that, Daniel Walker reached out with the virtual shoot and turned out he was coming to North Carolina later that month. And so we went and met up with him in person and did our first shoot with another photographer then. And after that, it's just been people hitting me up on Instagram asking if I'd like to shoot.
Did you jump straight into nude work or did you start off with clothed?
Nude. I started off naked right away. As a matter of fact, I had someone recently saying, oh, I wouldn't ask you to do anything naked. And I'm like, oh, I just thought that was a given. I just thought that was a given that I was going to be naked for this.
Yeah. As an aside, I'm going to delete this part out, but I went and had my first in-person interview last week with the episode coming out next week. So have you done any trade for pictures or have you been paid straight off?
Honestly, it's pretty much all been trade. Which is fine by me. I have fun with it. This is a great experience for me just starting out. And on top of that, as long as I can post the photos onto OnlyFans where I do get paid for the stuff, then I'm happy to do it that way.
Are you expecting to move to paid work at any point in time? Or is the photographer owning the copyright on that? Would you rather have the photos available for OnlyFans versus getting paid for the work?
I'm open for either, honestly. I have had my first offer to be paid recently. It's actually with a photographer who we're both traveling 12 hours each to go to New Orleans. And so he's offered to pay me and I'm up for it. But I'm also just here for like getting the opportunity to take a trip to New Orleans and take pictures with a photographer that I love.
How long would you recommend other new models do the trade for print thing?
Honestly, I'm not sure how to answer that. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm planning on just letting things go naturally. Now, if there was something that maybe I didn't love the idea of, I could be more motivated by being paid to do it. But as long as it's something that I love and I want to support, then I'm willing to take it, write it out naturally. You know, once people start offering to pay me on their own without asking, I'm not going to turn them down. But yeah, in the meantime, I'm happy to.
Well, what was it like that first time getting nude for a stranger on the internet?
To be completely honest, it wasn't too bad because I did have experience with being nude around people in a non-sexual way previously. However, the fact that it was a male photographer, it did make me, I did have to fight a little bit of a trauma response to where a lot of times when you grow up with the woman, the female experience, you oftentimes, you get really accustomed to men sexualizing you, whether you're being sexual or not. And now I'm putting myself in something that many people view as a sexual situation, even though it's not sexual. And there's always this fear of, are they going to make this sexual? But I brought my partner with me. He always comes with me on all my shoots. It's non-negotiable. I don't even ask the photographers. I just say, hey, we are available at these times. Yeah. We will be there together. And prior to shooting with Daniel, we had a discussion. You know, my partner has been in this industry for 12 years, and he feels very confident in his ability to be able to check for professionalism. And if he gets any kind of vibe that somebody's not being professional, completely professional, he's completely okay with pulling the plug. Or if I get uncomfortable, he has no problem pulling the plug. So with that said, I was able to fight past the fear of the whole sexualization of it and just fall into it naturally. And once I was naked, the hardest part was just taking off my dress. As soon as it was off, it was just free game and a lot of fun.
I have two responses. The first one is, it's funny you mentioned the taking off the dress part. Mm-hmm. I've had two separate responses from models. One model that I interviewed last week, she said she was laughing about how polite UK photographers were because every time she started stripping down, they would turn their backs. Mm-hmm. And she was like, keep talking to her, but turn their backs.
Yeah.
And she was like, I don't understand. Like, I'm here to get naked. Like, she's just is happy being naked all the time. And several of the other models I've spoken to, though, they want like a separate changing room. They definitely, yeah, like there's a mindset shift. There's a space shift. Like, yeah, they're not just like, poof, now I'm a nude model. It's, yeah.
Yeah. That's actually what this photographer said, is that like, he's mentioned that some models are like, okay, is there a changing room, or like, where do I get naked? And he's like, I'm going to see you naked regardless. Like, just, you know, go ahead and get naked here. And I mean, I definitely respect anybody who wants to accommodate for somebody's comfort. If it's just a mental thing, then that's very valid and very important for your mental comfort to accommodate for that.
Second thing, sorry, it took me a second to remember it.
No problem.
You mentioned trauma response. Mm-hmm. I am not a psychiatrist or a psychologist, and this should not be taken as advice, but I do know there's such a thing as exposure therapy. Mm-hmm. Would you consider this kind of exposure therapy for those traumas you mentioned, or I don't know.
It's exactly that. And I meant to mention that when you asked me about how I got into this nude modeling, that's exactly what this is for me, is a way to break free of, you know, the shame and the trauma and express myself for who I deeply am in a way that makes me feel good. And for me, that means being naked, and that means being naked in front of a camera. It's something I really, truly enjoy. And I'm proud of myself for getting to a place where I'm able to do it when there's so much fear and shame behind it for so many years. And the shame was absolutely like on the level of trauma. So.
Yeah, I know. I know when I was in my 20s, I started doing photography, and I never had the guts to ever ask anybody to pose nude. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of fear and shame around that as well. Now I'm in my middle ages, where I have the completely undeserved confidence of a middle-aged man.
No shame in that.
So you mentioned a little bit about this already, but what can photographers do when they're working with a new model or a model who's just nude and nude work to make that first time less stressful? Sounds like providing a changing room is a first step.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. You know, just not assuming that people are totally comfortable with being nude just because you see them nude on their Instagram or their portfolio or whatever doesn't mean that they're necessarily comfortable. So just being understanding of that and validating it, like, hey, would you like a changing room? Or hey, another great thing I think would be to just go ahead and offer to the model, say, hey, bring a friend with you. Don't expect them to think of it on their own. Tell them that you're expecting them to, more or less. You know, that really like might make them more comfortable with knowing, okay, hey, I don't have to, even though they shouldn't feel guilty about bringing somebody with them, they might, a people pleaser might be afraid to ask because they might be told no, not to bring that. And even though that's completely shady, to be told not to bring somebody with you.
That's a giant red flag.
Giant red flag. But not everybody's good at identifying red flags. Mm-hmm. Not everybody's good at putting themselves in a position to be told no.
Especially,
and I've been there
myself.
Especially a new model. Yeah. So if you can go ahead and offer them, hey, you know, bring a friend if you want to, that would make me so comfortable knowing that this person really wants to make sure that I'm comfortable. They're showing me that they're wanting me to, you know, feel comfortable. you know, and then pick a friend that, if you're bad at saying no, if you're that people pleaser, make sure you pick a friend who can say no for you.
So where have you generally shot? Has it been mostly outside? Has it been in studios? Has it been in photographers' houses, your house or apartment?
It's a little bit of here, a little bit of there. We started out, my partner and I started out in his studio, and then we've done some stuff in his apartment. We did something with the first photographer I worked with, Daniel. We worked in the basement of a friend's house. He brought a big black backdrop and his studio lighting. Then we've worked outside a lot. We do a lot of nature stuff because I'm outside hiking anyway, and then we'll see something pretty. It's like, oh, hey, I can get naked there. And then I get naked there.
I mean, that makes nature photography so much easier when you have a portable source of interest.
And since you mentioned making this interesting, we also did some erotic stuff at an Airbnb, along with a rug on the basement floor of somebody's house.
So it's interesting you mentioned the Airbnb. So I used to live in a small town called Culpeper, and we had a big house because it was a cheap place to live. And we had a giant basement that I could shoot in.
And we 504 area code, right?
540. Yep. Yep.
540, yeah. We got a cousin from there.
Yeah. Then we moved up to a much more expensive area. And now I'm in a townhouse that doesn't have any big rooms to shoot in. So I've been trying to figure out where to shoot. That's interesting. I've been looking into Airbnbs, but I hear a lot of them have photographer restrictions. So you can't just go in and shoot. But maybe if you're selling it on like OnlyFans, I'm sure that the restrictions are mostly there for, you know, ad campaigns and stuff. They probably wouldn't notice if you're not that I'm encouraging anybody to do that. If you're a listener, I'm not a lawyer, follow my advice. But how did that happen? Was that like a deliberate choice? You guys found an Airbnb that looked really cool and you went there kind of with that intention? Or was it just a vacation and you were like, hey, we're here, we might as well shoot some content?
You know, that's probably how I would do it and get away with it if I were to do it. You know, oh yeah, I'm just staying at this Airbnb and we're going to take pictures because that's just what we do. But no, this was a photographer who rented out a Airbnb. It's actually where they honeymooned with their wife. And they just posted on social media about like, hey, I rented a Airbnb for the weekend. I want to work with models and or any boudoir clients. Like book your time slot and, you know, let's make it happen. And they reached out to me and asked if I would like to do that. And that's where the erotic shoot happened. And we traded photos. So my partner and I took pictures of him and his partner, and then he took pictures of us.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like, that's wife swapping in the modern age, right? Kind of. Instead of swinging, you're taking pictures for each other's OnlyFans.
Well, now that you mentioned that, the way that I actually came into contact with this photographer was on a subreddit for swinging.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that did not happen, but thought it was relevant.
You know, though, that is kind of like the same room sex thing. I mean, that's one of the things that people use to kind of get in, you know, they get their feet wet, so to speak, without actually jumping in. That's funny.
And that was a part of the exposure therapy for me, was having sex in the same room with someone else. And that helped me, you know, that was more of my exposure to being nude around other people, hence why it's kind of been easy for me to transition into being nude in front of strangers.
Gotcha. All right. So I kind of want to dive into the OnlyFans stuff, but I think that's in a couple questions. So let's work our way down the list. Okay. Looking at your Instagram, it looks like you've done some glamour nude stuff, some art nude, some vignettes. I don't know if that's really the right name, but you know, where it's like heavily focused on like a body part, trying to convey an impression without doing the whole thing. Some Polaroids, which I don't know if you want to call that documentary style. But what type of photography have you enjoyed the most so far?
Oh man, that's a hard one for me because I love it all. Each one is just a different experience and I learn something new each time. It's just, I will say, like from working with photographers aspect, I would say that one of the photographers was really great at directing me. Like I was doing the posing, but he would say, all right, tilt your chin up or tilt your chin down or tilt your head a little bit more to the left or to the right. And I loved that as a new model who isn't, you know, particularly who like I said, doesn't feel particularly photogenic. And that's not because I think I'm unattractive. It's because I just, every time I was in front of the camera prior to the past few months, I would just freeze up and was like, I don't know what to do. You know, and I don't, some models are really great at knowing exactly how they're going to look on camera when they're posing. Yeah. I don't have that. Yet. So this photographer was this photographer was great at like really helping me position in flattering ways. And his work was probably my favorite that we've done so far.
So would it be fair to say that you're in this more for the experience and attention of being in front of the camera rather than for the art produced necessarily?
It's, I would say it's a fair balance of both. Not so much the attention. I like the attention, but it's not a necessary component of this. I as a photographer myself, I love photos. And so having, you know, being able to be finally in front of the camera is such a wonderful, fun experience for me. And, the art of it, it's definitely very heavily art-based. I'm very particular about my photos. I edit almost all of the photos that my partner takes of me. I edit every single one of them. And if the photographers I worked with would let me edit them, I would do that as well.
Sounds like the perfect model. I love taking pictures and I hate editing them. I should just let the model handle it.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me edit my photos, please. Because I'm very particular about it. Not to say that the photographers I work with don't do a good job of it. Of course, I'm very happy to share their work. But it is very important to me. I've put a lot of work and effort into maintaining my image and posting only stuff that I really love. And then you mentioned the attention, you mentioned the art, and then what was the other one?
The experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the experience of it. It's so much fun for me. And then another big component is this does, I guess, go along with the attention, but it's not about the attention. It's about the ability to get my words out there. You know, people, sex sells. It's an honest truth. And so if I can use my body as a way of promoting the things that I believe in, that I think are very valuable to people to learn, and then I absolutely love that. And I've gotten a tremendous response from people saying, like, you know, I love your page. You've taught me that all bodies are beautiful and they're all the same. Like that, you know, I have people telling me that, like, I can tell you're a very warm, genuine, happy person. You know, you make me feel good about myself just like looking at your page or reading your post. And like, that's what I'm doing it for. That's what I'm doing it for.
That's fair. And after that heartfelt expression, another boring question.
I'm here for it. Let's hear it.
I noticed there's a male model you've been photographed with a couple times. Is that your partner?
That is. That's my sweetheart.
You only work with him for shoots that involve male models, I assume?
I'm open to modeling with other people. I've got somebody in Texas who is from Charlotte, North Carolina, which is near me. And when he comes to visit his family, he wants to do a shoot with me. And I've got a friend about 3 hours away from me who's actually gay. And I was like, hey, do you want to take some platonic nude photos together to really express, like, show how you can be nude and not sexual together. And you can be, you know, of opposite sexes that, you know, are generally society views as what's supposed to be attracted to each other. And we could be naked together and not be doing anything sexual. And I think that's beautiful. I'm also open to modeling with females, but yeah, so far we've only modeled with my partner.
What other avenues aside from Instagram have you been using to try and drum up work, or has that been mostly it?
Instagram is definitely where it's at for me. but I do use Reddit. And before Instagram, I was doing some stuff on Snapchat, which has helped me with the OnlyFans, because now I can be like, hey, here, you saw, because that was my, that was just a sexual avenue. I would post, you know, videos of my partner and I doing, having sex. And then now I can share little snippets of that and be like, hey, if you want to see the whole thing, check out my OnlyFans.
Do you, have you started a subreddit for yourself yet?
Not a subreddit, no. Oh. No.
Gotcha. Just and posting like the model Reddits, etc.
I post in the nature nude accounts, you know, hiking the different I don't remember the names of them, but you know, anything that's about being naked outside. And then there's one that's called like Le Femme Beauty.
I'm subscribed.
Okay. Yeah. That's where I get, where I've gotten the most traction, where I've gotten like 200, 300 upvotes was in that one. Because my photos are much more of like an artistic side of stuff. Whereas like a lot of Reddit is, we want to see tits and ass and really pornographic stuff.
Gaping, horrible things that destroy all mystery and love that you have for something that was wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not opposed to pornographic stuff. Obviously I just mentioned my whole Snapchat experience, but I do like there to be an artistic appeal to it, or a very real appeal to it. Like my sex stuff is not edited at all, unless it's a photo, but the video stuff is pure. It's just this, we're not trying to get good angles. We're not trying to do things that are going to look good on camera. It's real. It's raw. It's us.
I think there's definitely an attraction to stuff like that that doesn't look quite so polished. It's funny. Everybody's trying to make like really professional and high quality videos. Mm-hmm. But I think that that's kind of the stuff that most people are tired of at this point. Like that's what we had jammed down our throats through, you know, the 80s, 90s. It was all professional, it was all jammed, and now you have a chance to see real couples doing real things. I think that's a big part of that.
Well, my experience with Reddit is that I'm not allowed to advertise my OnlyFans on the majority of the subreddits, but you can have it in your bio. So whenever somebody comes back to my page to see what I've got going on, they read my bio, they see my link, and hopefully they subscribe. That's the idea.
Yeah, Reddit is, it's funny. I've used Reddit for years as just a, you know, just following other things and not really contributing much to it. Now that I want to contribute to it, there's a ton of rules. Yeah, most image ones require you to post from like Imgur or you know, like you can't post people's IGs directly. You can't post social media stuff. You can't post yourself. There's a ton of rules around that.
But I would like to throw a little brag out there and say that one of my Snapchat followers sent me a link to something that a different photographer posted the when we did the erotic shoot in the Airbnb. That photographer posted a photo of my partner and I, and one of my Snapchat followers sent the link to me and said, is it bad that I recognized this as you before I even knew that it was you? And I was like, I think I'm a little bit Reddit famous right now. Just a little bit.
Yeah, I definitely recognize the models that you are following.
I'll take it. I'm flattered.
Yeah, my wife gets annoyed when I recognize models. Can't imagine why.
Yeah, it's what it is.
It is what it is. All right. So you have Emma.scrambles as your secondary IG account. That one, what's that one all about?
That one started out as a backup account because I've already had, surprise, surprise, one account deleted within just a couple of months. So I went ahead and created a backup account this time and wasn't even planning to use it for anything, but one day I guess I decided I wanted people to start following that account. Just that's the purpose of it, in case my main account got deleted. And I started picking up a lot of traction there and realized that people loved my nude hiking photos. And now that one's really more of my primary account because I have about 300 more followers there, and I've gotten them all organically just from being shared and using hashtags and then, you know, advertising it on my main account. But it's really taken off.
Yeah, there are a lot of cheeks on Peaks. I am really surprised. Sorry, I'm going through the Cheeks on Peaks hashtag now.
Yeah.
That's funny. I just started a personal goal. Well, I started it last year as COVID started, so I haven't been able to pursue it. Personal goal of doing the 50 high points.
Oh, so okay.
Maybe we'll have to do some Cheeks on Peaks on the 50 high points. Although one of them is DC. That one's going to be harder.
Oh, you can make it happen. Trust me. You can make it happen. I started doing the 6,000 peak challenge in North Carolina. There's 40 peaks that are over 6,000 feet in elevation, mm-hmm. In North Carolina, and a couple of them are in Tennessee. And then that gave me Achilles tendonitis. So I am taking a break from that right now. And trying slowly but surely recovering.
I got started on it. My wife and I and my son did a 14er Quandary Peak in Colorado a couple summers ago when we were there. What? And I'd like looked into it and I was like, oh, there's a thing where they can hike all the 14ers in Colorado. And I was like, that's cool. I want to do that. And I was like, wait, I don't live in Colorado. That's going to be really hard to do. And I was looking for something else. And that's when I found the 50 high points. I was like, oh, well, this gives me an excuse to go everywhere in the US. I should totally do that.
There exactly. you go. Yeah, I'm into it.
So I see in your link tree that you have an OnlyFans, and you've mm-hmm. mentioned it several times. Mm-hmm. So what kind of content's going in there? You've said erotic, but you haven't really specified. Mm-hmm. Erotic has kind of a wide variety of things.
Yeah, well, we've that's exactly what it is. It's a wide variety of little bit of everything. I do some lifestyle nudes where I'll take videos of me cooking naked or showering, or when I'm on the trail naked. Then I do the erotic portraiture that you see on my Instagram accounts. I just do the uncensored versions along with more in that series. We've got some... We do the full on like having sex. Like there's plenty of I don't know how much detail you want me to go into here. Like I don't want to
much as you want.
Okay, all right. We do full on sex. Like I said, it's all real, very real people having very real sex. We've got some cum shots on the face. Pictures. We've got Roadhead on there. We've got a little bit of everything. And I've started doing a thing. I've just only done it once so far, but I'm going to start doing it more regularly where I ask my followers, do you think I managed to get naked in this spot or not? And then I'll answer the next day showing whether or not I got naked there.
All right.
The answer so far has been yes, but I'm going to throw some stuff out there to, you know, mix it up a little bit.
Are the lifestyle nudes popular? The videos of like cooking and things?
You know, it's hard to know because I get about the same amount of likes on everything that I post. And it tells you, OnlyFans lets you know how many people are looking at your stuff and the duration of how long people are looking. And based on that, I'm getting good like views. But the interaction is very minimal. And so I posted a poll today to specifically ask like, hey, like for these lifestyle videos, how do you like them? Like maybe, you know, do you like to just see little snippets? Like I post a little snippet example of when I was in the shower and well, honestly, I bent down and started giving my partner head. During the video, and it was just a little snippet of it. And then I posted a fast forwarded video, where it's, you know, the sped up. And then I posted the full length video. And my question was, which of these do you like the best? Or maybe they want to see all three options, and whatever it is, I'm here for it. Yeah, I'm still very, to answer the question though, I'm still very new to OnlyFans. I've only been doing it for about 2 months. So I'm really still trying to like explore and see what it is that people want. And I'm surprised, but I feel like people honestly love just the nude portraiture the best. I thought that they would be really into the sex stuff because that's just what it's about, but I get a few more consistent likes on just the regular nature nudes.
That's interesting, because yeah. I'm just wondering, like, image wise what you're portraying, because I feel like mm-hmm. like the lifestyle nudes are very much like a girlfriend vibe. Uh-huh. Like you know, we're hanging out together and I'm, you know, cleaning naked because I know you like it or something like that, versus some of the other ones are more of like a porn star vibe versus, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still exploring it. And I get, my feedback is usually I like everything that you post. So, cause I'll ask, what do you want to see next? And somebody responded, I'm here to support you because I like what you create and I like who you are. Yeah. I like it all. The only thing that people really say is that I'm an ass guy. I'm an ass guy multiple times. They're not asking me to take more. They're not directly asking me to take more ass pictures, but they are telling me that. And I'm taking that as a hint that, okay, let's post some booty pics.
Yeah.
More than just my nature, my cheeks on peaks.
I do feel like I've seen a lot of videos thinking back that involve women in skimpy dresses cleaning. Like a super not supportive dress where they're just like everywhere because they're vigorously scrubbing.
Yeah. Like,
yeah. I think that's a thing. I think that's a fetish.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. And I like doing silly stuff. Like the other day I put up the camera and I just like jumped across the screen, like fully nude. And like, that's all it is. Or another one where I like just got into the front of the camera naked and like started doing like a scoot, like just backing up in a way where I was like, it wasn't seductive. I was just scooting backwards. I do some seductive stuff too, but I like showing the silly side of me.
Have you done any really like nude video game streams or anything like that?
I've thought about that. Yeah. I've thought about that because I play a lot of Pokemon Go and it's like, do people want to watch me play Pokemon Go while I'm naked?
I don't know. The Pokestops are all in, you know, populated places.
Yeah, but we've already discussed that. That doesn't stop me.
That's fair. Yeah, I don't know. Pokemon Go especially is kind of like you're just sitting there like.
What about Harvest Moon? Can I do that one naked?
Maybe. That was one of the things that I was thinking about for monetizing is like naked video games or something like that. When I was talking about monetizing and like doing an OnlyFans.
Yeah.
So I think that might be an interest. I think there's at least one show that has done interviews while playing games with each other. So it might be interesting. Yeah. All right. I saw you had posted specifically on body hair. I imagine you occasionally get some pushback on that.
Only once so far. I actually posted something onto my Snapchat recently asking like, should I shave or should I not for my pubic region? And I almost exclusively had people say, no, leave it. The next day I posted saying that showing a picture where I had actually shaved and said, ha, I'm a brat, so I'm gonna do the opposite of what everybody told me to do. And on top of that, the correct answer is I don't get to tell anybody what to do with their body hair.
That's fair.
So that's fine. I've had the one comment on Reddit where somebody said, I like everything in this photo except for the underarm hair. And I just responded saying, my underarm hair doesn't like you either.
Yeah, I have concerns about men that like their women completely shaven, but I guess it's not my place to tell them what they should like or not like anyways.
Yeah, I can get it from a sensory standpoint. Like I've told my partner recently that I prefer him to be shaven just because if you want me to be licking regions where the hair is, I don't want to feel the hair on my tongue, to be completely honest. Like,
yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that. Shave anywhere where you want somebody to put their tongue. I've heard that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's my stance on it. But yeah.
I guess it partially depends on how coarse it is too. Like, is it soft or is it like super wiry?
Yeah. So,
All right. But this is not a podcast on hair and putting mouths on hair. That's next week. No. All right. So you mentioned the public nudity thing a couple times. Mm-hmm. Do you get a lot of requests on like kind of public flashy type pictures?
I don't get a lot of requests. No, I just do that naturally.
Gotcha. Because I know that's a whole photography subgenre of kind of like accidental on purpose nip slips and you know, upskirt stuff and things like that.
Oh yeah, we did a photo shoot with somebody recently where we went to an antique mall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Old people that you could have killed giving them a heart attack.
Oh yep. YOLO. Yeah, it was so much fun. It was definitely, even though I'm totally comfortable doing that, it was out of my comfort zone because I'm not used to posing with furniture. I'm used to just being in nature. Or if I'm in a studio, it's still like I'm up against a wall or something. So this was a little interesting having to get used to that. But it was so much fun to like, all right, my partner would stand in the hall aisleway and let us know if anybody was coming. And the photographer would just blast away while I was like, I would change clothes. I would, you know, be completely like just naked, sprawled out, like everything. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. We only got called for sure by one person. Oh, but at the end of it, we did notice that there were at least those big black bulbs that show where like a security camera is. Those were all over the ceiling. Whether or not they were working, I do not know.
Or if anybody was watching it.
I mean, I just hope that they enjoyed it. So enjoy the show. Mm-hmm. Subscribe to my OnlyFans.
You should have a little sign to hold up, like for the security camera.
We've discussed. I feel like I should get a shirt. For the moments, like I tend to just wear a dress or like an oversized button-up shirt or something that I can slip on and off really easily for the quick nudies. And I feel like I should have like subscribe to my OnlyFans on the back of it. So that way, if they catch me putting it on, then they'll know where to find me.
Have you had any issues with any photographers? There are some that seem to really prey on new models. And have you run into any of them, and have any of them pushed your boundaries?
You know, I've been really fortunate to work with a lot of really great photographers so far. Everybody's been extremely respectful. And I've actually had one recently reach out to me asking once again for an erotic session, not knowing that I've done erotic work. And then when I didn't respond immediately, he's like, I know, it's sorry, it's a lot to ask. And then I was like, oh no, I'm totally cool with it, but I need to discuss boundaries. So we are working on setting up a meeting where we can discuss boundaries. I've had people message me that I just haven't responded to because I just, you know, didn't get good vibes from their feed, or just, you know, felt like, okay, this is just a guy with cam trying to take pictures of a nudie girl. One person, the only person who's really kind of pushed it was someone who subscribed to my OnlyFans and expressed interest in doing an erotic photo session. Mm-hmm. And once again, I could tell this was just a guy with camera. Maybe he wasn't actually creepy, but like the quality of his work just made me think that I'm not going to do erotic work for this person. And then they tipped me while continuing to ask, and then they messaged me on Facebook, or not Facebook, on Instagram. They commented on one of my things saying, hey, I really want to work with you. And so finally, when they tipped me, I was like, sorry, I'm just really busy right now. I'll let you know. I'll get back to you in a few months if I've got time in my schedule.
I'll admit, the whole OnlyFans thing, sometimes I'm fully in support of people being able to monetize their work, whatever that work is. People should get paid. Mm-hmm. But it's super weird to me as a photographer I mean, again, hobbyist photographer. I'm not a professional. I don't know. There's a weird boundary there where when you subscribe to someone's OnlyFans, it's I don't know. I don't know how to describe it.
I've thought the same thing. I'm kind of like, if a photographer follows me on my OnlyFans and I know they're there, like, I don't know if I really want to work with them or not. I have done it, but, you know, I also wonder, you know, I know a lot of models, I feel like they just post their nude photos, like their nude photos that they've gotten from other photographers that are, you know, what you see on Instagram, but just without the censoring. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe if that's what they're expecting to find on here and they're not like expecting to see me like deep throating my partner, then maybe it's fine. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I need to think on that one more.
Yeah, I agree. There's valid reasons to do it. Like, number one, like supporting a model that you like and you want to see keep working.
Especially if you're doing TFP. That was something I was thinking about today too. It's like, okay, you're not paying me to work for you, but you're paying me through my OnlyFans.
Especially if you want to see like the full suite of what they do. Because again, Instagram doesn't let you post certain things. And if you're in a lot of places, I'm running into this on Reddit. I tried to run an ad campaign on Reddit for the podcast and it wouldn't let you advertise on any not safe for work forums. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a very different vibe. So I did mention the nude hiking, and I feel like I have to mention something about it now. Okay. What happens when you run into somebody when you're hiking?
So it depends. So far while nude hiking, I have not run into anybody. If I do, I only nude hike typically where it's very secluded and chances of running into anybody are very slim to none. My first nude hike was through bushwhack and thorns. So if you're willing to fight through all of that, and you happen to run into someone who's naked, well, first of all, I like to think that people like that are pretty open-minded and are going to be kind of chill with it. Secondly, boobs and butts are legal in North Carolina, as far as I'm aware.
Oh.
So it's just maybe like the lower frontal region that I have to worry about. Third of all, once again, out there in the briars and thickets and thorns, you're not going to, good luck trying to like call the cops on me. I'm not going to be able to make that happen. So if it were to happen, I would feel like I'd probably throw my clothes on just because we are in an area that I don't want to make people uncomfortable. Regardless of how I feel it should be normalized, I don't want to push it and make people uncomfortable. Now, while nude modeling, when we're just like posing off the side of a trail, if we have people come by, I need to start recording videos of it because you will see me running and ducking for cover behind bushes or like just like jumping into the center of the woods, like behind bushes and everything. It's a lot of fun.
Right.
And then my partner just pretends to be taking pictures of flowers.
Well, we are just about out of time. So we have a couple last questions to finish up and then we will close things out. Do you have anyone that you look up to in modeling? Someone whose career you admire or you'd like to emulate?
Honestly, I tend to pay more attention to photographers.
That's fair.
Because you get to see from the artistic standpoint that I'm interested in, I can pretty much depend on the photographer to have a consistent style that I like. And there I can look and see lots of different models modeling in the style that I like. Whereas if you look at a model's feed, you may see a bunch of different styles mm-hmm. by this photographer or by this model. And I might not resonate with it as much if I see it like that. Are you interested in hearing some of the photographers that I...
Sure.
I love Matt Kish Photography. He's in Ohio and does a lot of analog work. His work is weird, but beautiful and very creative. And that's not true. I do have some photographer or some models that I'm really interested in. My partner worked with Serena Gibson. She's in North Carolina. He worked with her during a music video, And he told me that, like, when they asked her to pose for photos, like, just, they said, just have fun with it. She just started, like, they had this fake knife that they were using for the video, and she just, like, started licking it and stabbing the table with it and just, like, going completely wild and just completely in her element. And her photos reflect how much she was meant for this. And it's absolutely, like, inspirational to be like, maybe one day I could be that good.
All right. What's your favorite photo in your portfolio?
Favorite photo in my portfolio would probably be one of the ones from the series when we went to a place called Beacon Heights here in North Carolina. Prior to that, all of my photos had been very rigid. I was very scared to be in front of the camera. And this was the first time that I really just, like, started moving my body in ways that I was, like, before I was scared to, because I was so scared of looking bad on the camera. But that fear is actually what made me look bad on camera. So I decided to, like, let's just try to do the things and get over the fear and see what happens. And my partner was just like, wow, you're really killing it. These are so good. These are so good. And then he showed them to me and they're backlit. And I feel like those are the ones where I actually started to look like a model. And I just feel like they're so beautiful and really just make me feel so good about myself because of the hurdle I had to get over in order to be comfortable in front of the camera. Like, that they will always stand out as probably some of my favorites.
Those are the ones you posted in March 16th, 18th, and 19th.
I don't know. It was 32 degrees outside, 31 degrees outside.
You posted, actually. Did I mention it was 32 degrees and windy when I was naked on this mountaintop? Yeah.
Yep. Yes, it was very cold. Very, very cold.
Gotcha. I think, those are really cool. I definitely like the backlight and the flare is really effectively used.
Oh, yeah. He's so good. He's so talented.
Yeah. I have to say, though, I think my favorites out of here are the bunny portrait.
Yeah,
that's one of my
favorites too.
And I really like the Polaroid, where it's you and your partner sitting on the chair.
Oh, I love those too.
That has such a like college feel. Uh-huh. Like it almost feels like one of those like super late nights when everybody's hanging out and you don't know how it happens, but somehow you ended up naked on the chair and somebody's like, oh my God, I've got a, like, it just captures a very, I don't know, like a late night, early 20s feel to me.
Those were actually right before the erotic stuff started happening.
Oh, that was at the bed and breakfast.
No, that was the bed and breakfast, or the Airbnb was the first, the second erotic shoot. This one was the first. And the night ended with me asking the photographer, Daniel, the first photographer I worked with.
Yeah.
It ended with me asking him, is it okay if I squirt on this rug? So he went and grabbed a towel.
Yeah. That's polite. That's polite.
With that, I do want to say, I think it's very important to add, we've talked about boundaries a little bit. One of my boundaries is that a way for me to really feel empowered with it and to not feel like just a sexual object is to focus on my pleasure during erotic stuff. And I will not go do anything to my partner until he has done something for me first, in the context of someone else taking our pictures or videos. If it's just me and him one-on-one, then it's a different story, but in front of other people, like, I don't want to, it helps me to just feel that, that empowerment.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely a problem in a lot of erotic photography. Right. And part of it is because, dicks are easy to, they protrude. They're easy to get in there and show stuff is happening there. It's a little harder to show women's arousal and.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. But that's a part of it though. And I don't want, I want it to be, in order for it to be empowering for me, I cannot feel like I'm being used for anybody's, solely for somebody's sexual pleasure. Like I told one of my followers on Instagram one time, they kept commenting all of this really like sexual stuff on my post. And I was like, hey, I think you might like my OnlyFans. And then when they said no, they weren't going to subscribe, I was like, okay, that's fine. You don't have to, but I do not consent to you sexualizing my photos on Instagram. The only place where I consent to that is on my OnlyFans. So, you know, you're welcome to keep following me here, but I don't want any more of the sexual responses or posts here. And never heard back from them.
Yeah. I don't know how to respond to that, to be honest. Because once you've posted the pictures, you don't really have much control over what people do with them, unfortunately.
And that's fair. If they want to, I guess if they sexualize it on their own, that's fine. But you don't have to include me on it. Yeah, I guess that's that's what I'm not consenting to. Don't include me in your sexual fantasies if I'm posting them on here. Because ultimately, that's not what my Instagram is about. My Instagram is about sharing that nudity doesn't have to be sexual, that it can be it can be sexual. Like I can post it onto my OnlyFans and make sexual remarks on there or show the sexual acts being done. But ultimately, on Instagram, it's about expressing that empowerment of saying, I feel comfortable in my naked body. It may not be perfect or quote unquote perfect, but I love it. And I'm not afraid to share it, despite the fact that here in the South, have been taught you should never let anybody see anything remotely sexual or nude that could be construed as sexual. I mean, like your cleavage shows, or you don't wear a bra and suddenly you're
trollop, a Jezebel.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah. I wanted to say slut, but I'm like, I'm okay with being called a slut, depending on the context. I'll call myself a slut, but yeah.
No, I mean, yeah, that's the context is everything. And when you're making the photos, when you're in that experience, context is one thing. When you post the photos, context is different. Mm-hmm. But I mean, for the viewer, like when he sees the photos, he's like, oh, this turns me on. And now his context is altered.
Yeah.
All right. Well, in a hard left turn, where can everyone find you online, Emma?
So on Instagram, we have the hiking account, which is emma.scrambles. And then there's the more modeling account, which is its_Emma_oops. And of course, you can find me on OnlyFans, where it is its_Emma_x. I like to, you know, mix up, keep it different, keep you on your toes.
Do you have any ongoing projects you'd like to mention?
Not yet, but I would love to find a therapist to collaborate with to record some podcasts where we delve into, you know, some sexual trauma and therapy and, you know, put it out there publicly to help other people heal through their own help other people heal through hearing my experiences. I think it could be a very empowering thing to know that you're not alone and to hear that there is help. And I know I can post about it on Instagram all day long, but I feel like I can't do it alone. I think collaboration would be a beautiful thing.
All right. I assume the easiest way would be to reach out to you via Instagram for that. If somebody hears this and wants to. All right. All right. And with that, we are done. If you have a favorite model or photographer you'd like us to interview, let me know. Check us out at the nsfwphotographypodcast.com, on Twitter as @nsfwphotography, Instagram as @thensfwphotographypodcast, and subscribe at your favorite podcast app. Now that just about everyone who wants the vaccine can get it, I'm really looking forward to seeing all the art that everybody's going to be creating now that we are hopefully free to get out there and shoot again. I hope everybody keeps shooting safely out there.